Well, hello, you beautiful spitwads. Thanks for stopping by to listen to an episode. Now, it's Labor Day, so we're going to be taking this week off from a brand new episode, but we have a deliciously wonderful, funny, probably stupid Labor Day spit hit for you. Enjoy.
What happens when three buffoons give life advice, explore unrealistic situations, and give random topics more thought than they probably deserve? It's the Spitballers Podcast with Andy, Mike, and Jason.
It's dinner time, everybody! Ding, 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 ding! Come on! Supper served! Ding, 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 ding!
The dinner triangle?
This has just been plummeting downhill for so long now.
Was that like a Monono?
I got no idea, Mike. None. No clue. I don't know if there's been a scat I've thought less about than today's, and I just figured something good would happen, but...
It's fun when you're like...
Flipping the coin.
When you hit on like a word, a magical word like badingi, and it works out so well.
I know.
It overinflates the confidence that you're going to find another magical closer for a scat. And you're just... you're if you don't put in the work, the work's going to put it in for you.
Yeah, I mean, that was, not my best. But welcome into the show. The Spitballers Podcast, Mike Wright, Jason Moore, Andy Holloway. Excited to have you with us. We have Would You Rather on the show today. Is This Real Life making a return? And an illustrious Best Dad Jokes Part 2.
This time it's personal.
Yes, this is going to be yet another spectacular draft. At Spitballers Pod on Twitter, spitballerspod.com is the website. I'm not saying this, but others are saying that last week's episode was one of the greatest.
We've heard that. We had one
tweet. Isn't that right, Al?
That's right. They're not wrong.
One tweet in particular that I found really funny was, guys, great show. That instantly at least a top 20, maybe even a top 15. And it's like, whoa, this is a tough critic here. It was a sensational show, of course. All of our shows are great. But it's just really, really funny to me to go to someone and say, like, that was one of, like, the top 20, maybe top 15 things that you have done.
Well, in all fairness, Mike, I mean, our top 15
it's very incredible.
Really high.
Yeah, I took it as a compliment. There's just another 14 that they could not displace. Last week's legendary show.
I have no idea what they are.
I don't remember. We're doing the dad jokes, and Al Borland knows well enough to send us the dad jokes from the last one, just in case we were to accidentally repeat them, which I was about to do, I'll have you know, Al. It got really close on one of them.
To be fair, it was a variant, though. It wasn't a duplicate joke. I mean, it was, you changed
it was
the animal.
A slight variant, yeah. Yeah, it was your joke, you had said the, why can't you find elephants hiding in trees? Is that the joke?
Yeah, well,
why is it so hard to find elephants hiding in trees?
And because they're so good at it.
Because they're so, and my joke was about hippopotamuses hiding in trees. So I'm glad we averted that.
Totally different.
Totally different. Different size. All right, let's get into Would You Rather.
Would you rather?
Would you rather? This is from JT. Would you rather have to always write and use your phone with your non-dominant hand? So writing and using your phone with your non-dominant hand.
Okay.
Or always wipe with your non-dominant hand?
Mm. Well, first off, I appreciate Justin Timberlake.
Yes.
Writing into the show.
Yes.
Big fan of the show.
A big fan of your work, too, JT.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, it's pretty good.
Yeah. That like Trolls banger was
it's one of your top 15 songs.
So definitely top 20, maybe top 15 in your portfolio, JT.
But would you rather always write and use your hand? I mean, either one of these.
Phone with your left hand, or I'm throwing left hand because I am right-handed. Jason on the show, meanwhile, is
Left-handed.
Yeah, I mean, you're a bit of a weirdo, though, because
Sure.
You play basketball with your right hand, don't you?
You claim you're left-handed, but you do a bunch of stuff right-handed.
Yeah. But all...
Like
so
a freak.
There are people like me out there, and I could speak to this. All of the things that require dexterity and precision, they're left-handed. Writing, eating, all of those type of things. If I'm throwing a ball or doing something, you know, with strength...
With power.
With my arm, not my hand, I'm right-armed and left-handed. That's basically what it is. I'm left-handed and right-armed. And
so you're saying that your left arm, even though it is your dominant hand, it's a weak arm.
Yes, 100%. If we were to arm wrestle, I would want to use my right. But
okay,
I mean, that's how
and,
it is.
And what? And you began this with, there are people like you out there.
Yeah, there's literally dozens of us. And the reality is, when I do things with my right hand, my non-dominant hand, mm-hmm. it's the worst.
You're checking your phone, you'd rather do it with your left hand.
I can't imagine doing that with my right hand. I mean, a lot of times,
which do you wipe with?
That's a dexterity move.
That is, do you need power or do you need yeah, precision?
Power or finesse? Which one do you need?
Look,
I know the answer. I want to know what you guys think. Do you think it needs the
I
power
think
or the precision?
It's finesse. It's got to be the left hand.
I know the diet. So,
I mean, you're going to need some real strength here.
Ooh, I think I'll bet this is what happened. You used to be a power righty. But then you jumped into the bidet life, and now you don't need as much friction.
That's
starting to fire.
That is true, except I've never been a power righty. I'm always there for precision.
Precision,
you
yeah.
You got to make sure there's no, you know, accidental mishaps there.
It would be the transition period here to wiping with non-dominant. It would take some time to get right.
Have you ever done it?
No, I'd have to go slower. A lot slower. Embarrassingly slow.
I want us to make a promise here to the people.
we're going to give it a go?
We're going to give it one shot. Aren't?
Oh, no.
We're going to give it a shot. And the next, and Spitwads out there, yeah, you give it a shot.
Yeah, get in on this.
We're doing it. You're doing it. I want the entire world to give it one
wipe,
one good, no, one full effort. So if it's a multi wipe, it's just a one time.
So are we going like hashtag wrong wipe?
Hashtag wrong wipe.
Okay. Let us know.
Give it one shot.
Let us know how it
goes. Report back for science.
Is there any scientific advantage to mixing it up? I mean, to getting proficient with both?
I'm sure there's an advantage.
I mean, do you think like if you got the lean a certain way and everything's a certain way for years, you probably build up some like, you can pull a muscle or something.
Well, if I broke my left hand and I had a cast on it, wouldn't I have to, I'd have to learn.
You would.
I don't want to have to start from zero when I break my hand. I'm going to start for no reason.
I mean, the truth is I would rather, I think, use my phone with the non-dominant. I think I would pick that up a little quicker. I use both hands with the phone sometimes. I can text with both.
Yeah, I'll use either hand. It
doesn't
matter.
I don't have any weak arms, is what I'm saying. Jason has one weak arm, him and his 12 friends. But
I think I'm usually a dual wielder on the phone.
Right.
I mean, I'm usually using both thumbs, both
hands.
Sure,
but when you have to go to one, have you ever used the power hand?
No, I've never used the
eating,
power arm.
Like you're
the
watching,
power arm, sorry.
You're watching TV. We already know when you watch a movie, you're also on your phone.
Correct.
And then you're probably having
also
a snack ski.
Well, I'm lifting weights with my right.
Right, okay.
While I...
Lifting weights, Jason.
I own weights that
Cal,
I would
Cal
lift with my right.
Calzones are exceptionally heavy.
Yeah, what am I eating? A bowl of cereal? That's my left. It's, calzone?
It's a two-pounder.
That's got to be the right. I'm gonna wipe with my non-dominant because Mike does bring up the truth. I live that bidet life. It's really just
the problem,
drying off.
What percentage of your life is bidet life?
Right now, it's 95%. If I go on a vacation or there's some emergency.
Is there multiple bathrooms in your house with bidets?
No, there is one bidet.
So you always you never have to make a quicker stop to the other bathroom?
No, I can usually at least make it to a different hallway.
look at the super sphincter over here.
Yeah, I can't imagine. So we have one at work and we've got one at home. That's enough.
All right.
The problem that we glossed over is the writing. I can use my phone
with my offhand,
no problem. But writing, trying to write,
I don't write
with
man.
Your offhand is just, it's embarrassing.
I feel like if I didn't need to write though, anymore,
you write
I think I'm
more
about
than you
done.
Think.
Not if I was got this flippy floppy.
I can write fine. That's what I just learned. I tried it, and I can write fine.
Yeah.
My handwriting is... What grade would you say this handwriting is?
Third or fourth?
Third, yeah.
So
third,
if you can write, why not make a full effort to move over to the power side? Because Andy and I, we're living the side where we have the power and the precision all in one unit over here.
See,
we don't have to split up the workload.
When I play basketball, my dominance is with both arms now, and that's what's really important.
When's your the last time you lefty played basketball? You. Yeah, by the way,
it's so important.
When's the last time you you played a pickup game of hoops?
I got next.
Do other grown-ups have to be involved?
Yes. Yeah.
Oh man.
Because I know you dunk on your kid's hoop. I know that happens.
It's been at least a year. Way more than that. It's been. I was thinking it's been a year, and then I thought about this year. No, it's been a long time.
Been a while.
But that's why.
All right.
For the next time.
Dan from Patreon, would you rather have to shave your head at the beginning of every year and then style and cut it as desired for the rest of the year? Or get whatever haircut you want at the beginning of the year and then let it grow untrimmed for the remainder of the year? So this is good. I mean, we're recording this heading towards the new year. So you either start with a shaved head or you start with the perfect cut and then you let it grow.
Okay. I'm following now.
I think this is all about what length of hair your base cut is. I mean, I can go shaved at the top because by the end of like what, a month, I'm back to normal.
Well, yeah. And here's another different problem in this question is not everybody can do much with long hair. Mike, I have seen when we first started
the
Fantasy Footballers, you had the man bun, and we had no idea how long that was. I mean, one day,
Mabel.
I mean, you just had this, you had a giant man bun, and then one day you took it down.
Like Rapunzel.
And it was like Rapunzel. I was like, dude, you have the longest hair of anyone I know or have ever seen. It was unbelievable and thick and luscious. Let's just say this. If I grew my hair for 5 years, it would be the stringiest, most awful-looking, still balding in the front hair that you've ever seen.
You would be a ponytail.
It is not a good look.
Oh, yeah.
But it's not just a ponytail. Ponytail's fine.
No, it's
but
not.
But it's the guys with the ponytail pulled back,
yeah,
but the receding hairline.
Yeah.
You all know what I'm talking about. You could picture now.
I can't picture it well enough without seeing it. So if you don't mind, could you get it going?
We've got a couple months.
We'll check in. Can you grow it out?
Oh, man. I don't know how long my hair would grow. Like, I feel like it would get to a point where it's like, I'm done.
Would mine keep going forever?
Yes, it would, in fact, keep growing forever.
Now, is there any chance on the inverse, if Jason shaved it, that it wouldn't come back afterwards?
I've heard that's a thing. I don't, to me, it doesn't
make sense.
It doesn't make sense to me.
The hair doesn't know how far it's out.
It's the hair follicle. So, but I don't know. Maybe you got some follicles in there that are just quitters, and I don't know.
Is it a wives' tale, the whole, if you, like, shave, that it'll grow back thicker? Not just your hair, but I think...
I believe that is an old wives' tale. It's related to, like, because your hair is... When you shave with a blade, you get that really coarse end because of how you've cut it. So I think it's related to that, and you just think that it's thicker, but it's not actually.
Because it's all coming in at the same length.
Yeah, it just looks like it for a little bit.
So there's a wives' tale that if you shave, it will never grow back. And if you shave, it'll grow back way thicker. Okay, got it.
I see what you're saying. I see that there's a bad circular logic here.
All right, getting back to the question, my hair, which is currently short and usually needs to be short, when it grows out, it grows into a poof ball. I mean, the sides
that's a problem.
Just grow straight out.
Mine
they never lay down. I have this family photo session that we did many years ago when my kids were young, and for some reason, I did not think I should get a haircut before this really big professional photo shoot, and I have the poofiest sides. I don't even look like me. It's the weirdest photo shoot
hashtag
of all time.
Hashtag release the pics.
So, yeah, sure. Borland, remind me, and I will have to take some photos of these photos. This was like, you know, real photo photography, not digital. And
real
The snooty back in the day.
All right.
But anyways, I'm going to shave my head here. And because if I were to grow my hair out unlimited for a year, not good.
Yeah, I'll shave my head. I mean, I'll be back to normal within a month, and then we've got to...
That's 1 month, though. That's,
I'm pretty poofy, man.
So that's 0 to 1.
That's hat month. January becomes hat month.
I think part of this is you don't get to wear a hat. Oh, yeah. You're having to choose which hair you're
I don't know
to
how
it.
Bad it would look bald. I do know that every once in a while, I do the buzz cut, and every single time, I'm like, yeah, this is a good idea. And every single time... I get done and I look in the mirror and I go, I hate this. I want it all back. Every time I did that during the lockdown,
right.
I was like, yeah, this will make the lockdown easy. Poof.
Yeah, I have the exact same problem.
All right.
I'm gonna get a haircut where my hair is like
perfect,
somewhat long. No, I'm gonna go somewhat long.
Oh, you're smart.
So that
you're cheating.
It already looks good because it's a good cut and it's long, and I know that it's just gonna keep growing, and so it will be okay.
So I have shaved my head recently for a Halloween costume last year. And so I Googled Jason Moore bald. I wanted to see if I could see a picture of what I look like bald. And indeed, the first one was me with a bald head. Because I want to see what is. I don't remember how good or bad it was. But then 4 pictures later is a picture of Paul Giamatti, who looks way too similar to me. I look way too similar. The big black frames, the beard, and the bald head.
You look just like him.
And then Google algo said that this picture looks like yours.
That's not good.
And the third picture that comes up is Nick from Guess Who.
Hey, to be fair, at least The Rock is also in there. My range is wide.
Oh, Judge Giamatti's wanting to give away that moniker right
you
now.
You look like Walter White. This photo.
I like it.
Yeah. All right, Brian from Patreon, would you rather have a family dog that loves you but hates everyone else, or a dog that loves everyone else but hates you?
Brian, do you even know me? My dog will hate everyone else in the world, and I will not care because it will be me and the dog forever.
But that means that it hates your family.
Yeah, that's too bad.
It's my dog.
Yeah, it is my dog.
Does the dog that hates you mean they leave you alone?
Yeah, but they probably growl at you.
A little bit of growly?
A little growling.
Do they take a little dumpski in my bed or anything like that?
They're not really vengeful creatures.
Right. But they're certainly not going to...
My kids love dogs so much that I couldn't have a dog hate them. That would break my heart.
Yeah, well, my big worry here is if you were to take what Mike took, which is the dog's going to love me, I'm going to love the dog, but the dog hates everybody else. Mm-hmm. What about when you have like guests over, or if you're taking the dog on a walk, or strangers who now have to deal with a dog that actively dislikes them? There's not much worse than
That's one of the hardest things with a dog is if you have like a dog that's really aggressive with people come over to your house, they don't want to come over.
A stranger's aggressive dog is really scary because you don't know how far that'll go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I hate being embarrassed. Like my dog, Rocky, cannot control himself around other dogs. This dog loves dogs so much that
he wants to play with them,
but so much that this pretty smart, well-behaved dog,
he's very large too.
Oh, he's a horse. If he sees another dog, he gone. He is out of here. And I have had to be like, we take him to the field and we let him off the leash in the field sometimes so they could just run back and forth, and they stay with us. Really good dogs. But if we see another dog way far down the street, we have to recognize it before he does. And then we go, dog, get the leash, get Rocky. And every now and then I could think of one time that it's happened. He saw the dog before us.
Uh-oh.
Boom, he was out of here. So now this stranger down the street has this giant dog running at him as hardcore as possible. And how I feel is like I am so terrified. That guy's terrified. The other dog, how is that dog going to respond?
Right.
It's not a good situation.
Have any of you guys ever had the experience of being like chased by a random dog? Bit by a random dog?
I've not been chased.
I've had both.
I had family who I went to their house and they took in a dog who he was a rescue dog, but yeah, he ended up biting me in the knee.
Oh,
I got bit a little too close to home.
Oh.
Oh no.
Da groin.
Yeah, that didn't feel good. Also had like the bike rides home from school where like the person leaves the screen door open.
Right.
And the dog comes bursting out.
At you?
Oh, yeah, I've been chased down the street riding full blast on the bike, thinking I'm gonna get eaten alive.
That's crazy.
I gotta let the dog, the family's gotta get the love.
You are correct. Like my son probably loves the dog more than I do. And it would break his heart if the dog did not like him, and it would break my heart. But then that brokenness will be repaired by the love of my dog.
So
everything would be A-okay for
me. Right, no, that's fine. And your son would obviously end up in good shape in that situation.
Grow up, man. Put some dirt on it.
Get your own dog. This is mine. I'm going to take the dog's hatred for myself, love for everyone else, so I don't have the stranger problem. And also, I want that dog to fear me. You shouldn't like me. I'm the master here. Don't you get my garbage?
Terry wants to know, would you rather give someone terrible advice or take someone's terrible advice?
Oh, no.
Hey, Al, for this question,
oh, no.
When we take their terrible advice, does that mean we have to do it or we just have to receive it?
No.
You have to do it.
Yeah, we have to do it.
So I either have to give somebody terrible advice that costs them or they give me terrible advice that costs me.
Yeah, that is correct. Like they're like, oh, you're traveling to California. Make sure you go up through Nevada around because there's some closures, and so they give you this advice.
I got a hot stock tip for you.
Oh, no,
you're gonna want to get in heavy on USO and go deep. So, but here's the thing. If the question
that's just hypothetical, though, right?
Yeah, just hypothetical, just throwing out a random. I don't even know if USO is a real stock. Who knows? But
like oil or something. Who knows?
Right, who knows? Nobody knows. I'm sure it's a great stock.
That stock rebounded.
It did eventually rebound. If only I stayed in. So here's the thing. If this question were, would you like something bad to happen to you or to someone else, that's basically what the question is. But the real difference here, because I think if we're all being honest and we had to choose, something bad happens to me and my family or you and your family, sorry, we're probably all, you know, human nature, we're probably going to choose that us and our family are fine. But the difference here is
the
causation.
The yeah, exactly.
It's who, now you're responsible.
Who's blamed?
Exactly.
Would you rather be blamed for the bad advice? Would you rather be the fault of the bad stock tip, or would you rather have it happen to you? Like, I don't know. I'm a super empathetic person, and so I'm always trying to put myself in somebody else's shoes, almost to a fault. So, like, if someone does something wrong to me, like, I want to go over and above to, like, make sure they don't feel bad about it. So I don't feel like that would be a problem. But if I did something, I don't feel like I could ever undo it. Like, well, if I ruin somebody based on my advice,
like
I'd feel so bad.
Part of my question here is, I mean, it's advice, right? So I actually think this is the correct thing to do. Like, if I told my friend, holy crap, this USO is like really low right now. And like, this is the time I thought I was doing the right thing by telling people to get in. And I was.
I mean, whoever did this was absolutely doing the right thing.
Yeah.
Whoever. So they get the credit.
Okay, new question.
Not the blame.
He wants the credit.
Oh, man. New question,
new
Jason?
Question. So in this hypothetical world,
right,
if you gave someone
all
a bad stock tip and they lost a bunch of money on it.
Right, because they sold too early or whatever.
But then they didn't necessarily need to if they hung out long enough.
Right.
Do you have empathy? Do you feel guilty, or are you relieved of?
Fully relieved.
Well, I mean, I super guilty until the truth comes out about the stock, and in which case you're validated and vindicated, and everything's fine.
Okay,
but
cool.
Super guilty up until then. Hypothetically.
Hypothetically.
Let's move on.
Is This Real Life?
All right. Is This Real Life is back. We each have found a story, a real story from the news that we're going to reveal to the other to on the show live and get their reaction to real life, because real life is happening all around us. And why not learn a little bit more about this world?
Mm-hmm.
So I'll kick it off.
All right,
you guys want to hear this?
Yeah, please do.
I found this so fascinating because I learned a lot, and you're going to learn a lot. Here's the headline. Oakland's notoriously aggressive turkey captured by wildlife expert posing as a frail woman. So this is
okay.
This is real life.
Okay.
There has been a Gerald is his name.
Gerald the aggressive turkey?
Gerald the aggressive turkey spent
probably because they named him Gerald
5 months attacking unsuspecting residents on the reg. Gerald.
Just like guerrilla warfare would just like jump out of the woods?
You know what? Yes, this is 100%. And apparently very aggressive.
Oh, turkeys are mean, man. They are mean, mean birds.
Well, yeah, they're in a bad spot.
True. He preferred victims that were older women, according to complaints to Oakland Animal Services.
What?
So, this wildlife worker dressed up as an elderly old woman.
Oh, my goodness.
To get the turkey, you got to think like the turkey. You got to get in the mind of the turkey.
And here's what she said. She pretended to be scared of the turkey, dressed up like an old lady, and that's when Gerald started puffing up and showing aggression. And she said, I saw his reaction to me, and I said, oh, you want a piece of this? I'll give it to you. And Gerald charged straight at her. But get this, 40 years of experience prepared her for this moment, and she scruffed the turkey.
Turkey wrangling?
Grabbing him by the neck in a way that doesn't hurt the bird. And they thought they were going to have to euthanize Gerald, but they decided...
to eat him?
No.
Delicious. The end of this story is a nice sandwich.
And all the old ladies had a Thanksgiving meal. But anyway, they decided that there was a place, a suitable home for Gerald to go. And
a volcano.
The months-long effort ended with Gerald being released to a wild turkey habitat. So I didn't know that they preyed upon the elderly. This is...
Look, turkeys are mean, and I now like to picture that as the park ranger, the heroine in this story. She's dressed up as an elderly lady, you know, walking...
With 40 years experience, she might be one. She might already be one. I mean...
When did she start? When do you start?
Oh, yeah. I'm just dressing up.
I dressed up 10 years older than I am.
I dyed my hair white.
But I like to imagine that the turkey starts approaching, and then she cackles and throws the disguise in the air, and underneath it, she's just got a gigantic automatic weapon.
Blows him apart.
Just annihilates the turkey.
Also, how much credit are we giving to turkeys to know the age of someone? Like, that's not a moo-moo.
Turkeys smell fear.
Yeah, you got to act afraid of a turkey if you want to get attacked by a turkey. That's what my grandma always said.
Oh, man.
All right, what do you guys got for me? That is real life. And 5 months. How much taxpayer money went to the five-month turkey search?
It would have been a lot faster if they did my plan.
Your plan, yeah, exactly. They wanted to save this turkey.
We set up 3 turrets, and we have lunch tomorrow. All right.
I'm just proud of them for not using some of the old people as bait. They actually dressed up. They didn't, you know.
It's because they had one.
They didn't find a real Gerald to come out and be the bait for Gerald.
All right, here is the article I found, and amazingly, this article is from 3 days ago. So this is like,
this is current news.
Breaking news. Escaped cloned female mutant crayfish take over Belgium's cemetery. So
One more time.
Escaped cloned female mutant crayfish have taken over a Belgian cemetery.
Okay. Well, that doesn't make no sense.
It don't make no sense. But as I read this article, here's what I found out. This is a problem. This is a real
this
problem.
This is a real problem?
This is a real problem.
And this is 3 days ago, so this could be a problem.
You watch movies like catastrophic end of the world movies, and they always start with
The Rock and Judge Giamatti.
Yeah, they're the family's in the house, and on the TV screen in the background is like just a normal, like, you know, the zombie movie starts with like, oh, in Pennsylvania, weird occurrence. We're reading that article right now.
People need to understand. I'm looking at a crayfish. Number one, I don't know what the difference between a crayfish.
Is it a crawfish?
I don't know. There's a crayfish and a crawfish. Oh, they are?
They are.
Yeah. It's just pronunciation. I think most people call them crawfish.
I'm Googling and it's saying crayfish, and then I'll put a W in and it'll show me something very similar.
Is it in America or is it overseas? Overseas, they're crayfish.
I don't know, but these things are terrifying.
They are nasty looking.
People eat these?
Like
our only defense against this terrifying mutant warrior fish is to eat it,
which is the same as the turkey.
That's fair.
We take care of our problems.
So scientists basically created this version that is it doesn't need a male to reproduce. And it reproduces at an extremely rapid rate. So these females create identical DNA replicas of itself.
What?
And then they can create identical DNA replicas of themselves, which is why it's saying...
They're taking over the cemetery.
Somehow, these crayfish made in a lab have escaped, these cloned female mutant crayfish, and they are... They've taken over this. They're on land and in water.
I was going to say, I thought they were water creatures.
Nope. They dig down into the cemetery and they devour everything in their path.
That's why they're named that. They get in your craw.
Oh, gosh.
And so these things are eating everything.
Oh, geez.
Apparently, this is like a real... They are banned by the European Union. There's literally...
Crayfish are banned
by the European Union.
Why, they declare war on them?
I'm telling you, these things are a problem. The idea of
that's cray, man.
Fixing nice
cray cray.
The idea of fixing this problem. Here's Kevin Shears from the Flemish Institute of Nature and Woodland Research. He said it's impossible to round them all up. It's like trying to empty the ocean with a thimble. So let's just keep them. Keep them on that side of the pond.
Do they eat the bodies?
The article didn't say, but that was the same question I had. Are they in a cemetery for a reason?
This could solve our zombie problem. It gives us a new problem.
Wow.
Okay. No crayfish over there, no crawfish over here. All right.
We're good. All right. I need to let the people know about a service that has been done by Rashik Zahid. I hope I'm saying your name correctly. We all have had this situation. It's late. You're hungry. You want to hit up the Mickey D's, right? Because you got a hankering for some fast food, and especially some ice cream.
Yeah.
And what happens?
McFlurry.
When you roll up to McDonald's at 11 o'clock and they go, ice cream machine.
No, don't do it.
It's broken. So you go to another McDonald's and they're like, yeah, ours is broken too. Well, we have a solution here. If you go to mcbroken.com, and I have been there, it is a fully interactive map. So here's what Rashik has done.
Is McDonald's ice cream machine broken?
Yes. So it's a live interactive map, and you can go check it out and see, like, essentially at any given point, 10% of the McDonald's machines are, quote, broken. But here's the way we know that the machines are working. There is a bot running the McDonald's app, and it goes around and it places orders that include the ice cream. And if the order is rejected because the ice cream machine is broken, then they get a message here. So right now he's currently placing an order worth $18,752 every minute at every McDonald's in the U.S. to figure out which locations have a broken ice cream machine.
Okay.
Wait, the order was $18,000?
Like, I think they're saying that would be the value. They don't actually push the order through. They're just, like, building orders at every single McDonald's because if the machine is down, the order won't work.
Okay, this is, for one, going there. I can't believe how many McDonald's there are in the world. Oh my gosh, there's so many McDonald's. Second of all, that's super smart.
The tech is incredible.
And third of all, there's quite a few broken ice cream machines yes. around us right now. This seems really practical and useful.
There are 8.98% of all machines are currently broken.
And apparently,
he's who services these? Can I get in this industry?
He is doing this all for his love of McFlurries. I see at the top of the site, would you like to help me cover the cost of running this website? Buy me a McFlurry.
My man likes a McFlurry.
Is to get McFlurries.
That's actually just really cool tech.
Yes.
I apologize to anyone in Tempe, Arizona.
If there was a map
you don't have very many working ice cream machines right now.
I was going to say, if there was a map of, like, our McDonald's servers broken due to this guy, what would that map look like? All right, you guys ready to draft?
Let's do it.
The Spitballers Draft.
All right. We promised it. It is a second best dad jokes draft. The first one was so incredible.
Mm-hmm.
Just the jokes were well thought out.
Look, this,
thorough.
These drafts,
precise,
these poetic. Drafts are, yeah. should be happening like once every 10 episodes. They are. It is a delight. Dad jokes are fun. They are uplifting.
It's also a weird draft to have the first pick with because I don't think that means much.
No.
But I will begin our draft.
All right.
It's a simple one. And last time we did this over Zoom. So we didn't get to deliver
That's true.
This to one another in person. What does a nosy pepper do?
Nosy pepper.
Oh, okay, okay, okay. What does a nosy pepper do? Please,
yeah.
Please
yeah.
tell me.
It gets jalapeno business.
Jalapeno business.
It's jalapeno business.
Spicy.
That is a staple of the Wright household.
You've used that one
yes,
before?
Yes, the jalapeno. It is a class. It's still funny. It is a fantastic joke.
Had you heard that one, Jason?
I have.
Oh,
I have. That's all right. That's all right. It's still a good one.
Yeah. It's just because we've heard it. It's still
you
good.
You got Hallop in my business.
Yeah. Use it on your kids. They'll love it.
Yes, they will.
All right, Mike. You are up.
All right. A man walked into a restaurant. The hostess asked, "Do you have any reservations?" And he said, "No, I'm confident I want to eat here."
That's a long exhale joke. That's a long exhale.
I got Jason with that one.
I liked it. I was hoping it went there. It reminded me of this. This isn't a dad joke I'm going with, but I know I had a friend in college who, whenever a waiter or waitress would ask if you want a box for that, they'd say, no, you could just have it.
Oh, that's good. Yeah. That's good.
Yeah. No, I don't want a box for this. I mean, we don't have to fight.
Oh. I like it.
I get the joke. Yeah,
now
yeah.
Now you see, he's talking you about see. Boxing.
Like, you put on the gloves, and then you go to fight. All right.
Better okay. explained, yes.
All right. I'm excited. I was worried this first one that I wanted was going to be taken somehow, some way, because I know we're all doing our
research.
Yeah. I mean, our deep diving research to come up with the best. All right. If you're an American in the living room, what are you in the bathroom? European.
Oh.
Yeah.
All
baby.
Right. Okay. You were worried we were coming for the European joke.
Of course I was worried. That's the gold mine.
Okay. All right. I accept. At least I haven't heard that one.
I was very, very happy with
That's
that.
That's not bad. That's not bad.
All right. Now I'm still on the clock.
Nothing like going back to back on the dad jokes.
Speaking of the clock.
Oh.
Have you ever tried to eat a clock?
Have I ever tried to eat a clock? No, Jason, I have not.
No, because it's very time-consuming. Yeah! Oh, baby! Super time-consuming to eat a clock.
Oh. You repeated the punchline.
Yes, you did.
Yes, I did.
All right, Mike, you are up. You are on the clock.
All right. Now, I've got my pick here. I am torn on the delivery, though. So you'll
make it poor.
Do the funny one.
That's what I'm torn on. I think it could go either way, but you'll know what I mean. I'm just gonna pick one. I'm gonna go with it. Ready? My wife asked me if I could stop singing Wonderwall to her. I said maybe.
The delivery was the correct
okay,
one.
Yeah, thank you. All right. Do you see what I mean? Oh, I wasn't sure if you just say, I said maybe.
No,
you did it right.
You have to do it yeah, that way or the good. Joke doesn't land.
All right, I did it right.
That's good. That's a good one. What do you call a woman standing between two goalposts?
What do you call a woman standing between two goalposts? I don't know.
Annette. you down with that one, Mike? You down with that
Annette?
One? Annette. It yeah, tickled. You call her.
Annette Funicello?
You call her Annette.
It tickled me.
Yeah, it's not bad.
And then I can't help but...
Are we going the normal four? Or?
12 rounds.
Okay. 12 rounds.
12 rounds. Well, that's a lot of dad jokes.
All right. I hope that you haven't heard this one. Okay. You probably have. But what's better than Ted Danson?
I already love it. I don't know the punchline.
You don't know the punchline?
What's
better than Ted Danson?
Okay. I don't know.
Ted singing and dancing, baby. Yeah.
Yeah.
I could see where it was going, but I couldn't find the answer.
I was like, Ted flying, Ted sleeping. What is going to be the punchline?
Singing and dancing. That's
singing
good.
And dancing. All right.
Yeah, I enjoyed that one because, you know, not a lot of Ted dancing jokes out there.
I wonder how many people
know who Ted Danson is.
Like, no, but he's back. He's in
the
good place.
Oh, the good place. Yeah. Has brought Ted
singing,
Danson
singing
back.
Singing and dancing.
Ted all right. Danson's back. In a big way.
Join us next week when the draft is Ted Danson jokes.
Yes, that's right. Mike, you are back. Back on the clock.
All right, so how many more do I have?
15.
Are we doing five again?
Five rounds. Yep.
Okay. Okay. That's helpful.
All right, we're going to go with this one. I'll need a little bit of interaction here. Jason.
Yeah.
We all know about Murphy's Law. Anything that can go wrong will go wrong. But have you heard about Cole's Law?
No, but
it's thinly sliced cabbage.
That's not a good joke, man.
As soon as you said, have you heard about? I mean, I heard it. You said, have you heard about coleslaw? Like,
oh, I said, have you heard about coleslaw?
Yeah.
Okay. Wow. That's I mean,
you call it a bad joke, but my man broke before I even said the punchline.
I think it's a good joke because you laughed at your own joke during it. So.
I laughed because he was laughing.
Oh, my goodness. All right. I like the eye contact you guys made on that.
Oh,
that was important.
It was very good. All right. Well, then I'll make eye contact with you here, Andy. Why is it so hard to tell a joke about retired people?
Why?
Because none of them work.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, baby.
Oh,
I like
brutal.
That one.
You know, get them retired people. Lazy.
Just like Ted Danson.
Get a job.
Oh, Ted Danson's not retired.
That's
he's back.
Right.
Have
right.
you heard?
Yeah, he's
in
back.
Big way.
He's back in a big way. All right, Mike.
Still me.
Oh, no,
it's
still Jason. That's
still
right.
me. All right, guys. Which days are the strongest?
Which days are the strongest?
Which days are the strongest?
I don't know.
Saturdays and Sundays. The others are all weekdays.
Oh, gosh.
Wow.
You did get points for delivery on that
yeah,
one. That was pretty good.
You are bringing the fire.
You know it.
He's got the energy.
All right. Andy.
Uh-huh.
What's Forrest Gump's password?
I actually know this one.
Jason. What's Forrest Gump's password?
I actually know this one.
Ladies and gentlemen at home, what's Forrest Gump's password? One, Forrest, one.
Okay.
That is a classic.
That is a good
that's
joke.
I've never heard that
you
one.
You've never heard that one?
Oh, that's man. What I just said. Being attacked. I've never heard that one. I get that it's probably been around for, 20 years? It's a Forrest Gump joke.
All right, I got one. Here we go. And I'll ask Mike this one because it kind of fits in your genre of life. Mike, what type of music do windmills like?
What type of music do windmills like? I don't know.
They are big metal fans. Oh, yes. And I have one more, right?
Oh,
that's yep. correct.
Sure.
Oh, that makes it difficult. I've got all these Ted Danson ones I could go with. All right. I'm just going to go with this one. It may not work. Jason's over here laughing at his next joke or something.
One of them that I have is it's just so stupid.
Oh, no. The rest of these are sophisticated.
Yeah.
Guys, what do you call a fish with no eye?
A fish with no eye?
Yeah, a fish with no eye.
A fish.
Yes, yeah. That's the answer. Dang it. I wanted to deliver the psh.
I'm sorry.
Wanted to deliver the psh to the people. You stole my psh, Mike.
I did.
Yeah. I'm so sorry. I got it too because there was that. It wasn't with no eyes.
It should have been no eyes.
Yeah, yes. You should have said no
hold
eyes.
Hold on.
Okay.
What do you call a fish with no eyes?
What do you call a fish with no eyes?
I have no
you
idea.
You guys have any? Either of you heard this one?
A blind fish?
No.
Well done.
Oh, no. I didn't think I'd have to modify it to make it funny. Dang it. All right.
Okay. Back to you, Mike.
All right. We'll go with this final one. Jason.
Yes.
Did you hear that? Arnold Schwarzenegger will be doing a movie about classical music.
Really?
He'll be Bach.
Oh, gosh. I don't mind that. That's a good one.
Oh, yeah. And I'm not going to go with this joke.
Schwarzenegger's a newer reference than Ted Danson. That's good.
Yeah,
that's good.
He's really hot right now. Schwarzenegger's doing a lot of big things.
Smashing
right now.
It.
What's
got
funny
any
is
Tony Danza jokes back here?
I had a Terminator joke on my list that I wasn't going to go with. And I'm still not going to go with this one, but okay. I'm just going to say this one.
Well, give your official
okay.
joke.
Right.
Then
the
we'll
poll.
Hit some of the.
Yeah,
we can go another round if you want. I don't care.
I've got two more that I think are worth the cut.
Let's go a sixth
it
round.
Sounds like we're going another round. Wow. In which case,
all right.
What would the Terminator be called in his retirement?
What would the Terminator be called in his retirement? I don't know.
The Exterminator.
Because he's an exterminator.
Yeah, he's an exterminator.
Okay.
So he's killing all them bugs. Because
wait him.
Because he's an exterminator. He used to be a Terminator, now
no,
he's an exterminator.
No, I get it. Formerly.
So formerly
known as.
Bugs.
Yeah.
He's still killing things.
Two Schwarzeneggers, one Danson. Let's keep it going.
All right.
And one Tom Hanks. Got the Forrest Gump in there.
Okay, all right. Whew. All
tough
right,
to
I'm
decide
go,
your final one?
It's tough to decide my final one. I'm going to go with the one that I think is just so stupid, but I love it. Why did the man... It's not even that funny. It's not even that funny, but it's so stupid. All right. Why did the man fall down the well?
Why did the man fall down the well?
Why?
Because he couldn't see that well.
Because he couldn't see that well.
Oh, brother.
That's such a bad joke.
I'm with it. That's a good one.
Oh, man.
It's so bad that it has completed the circle.
Exactly right. Exactly right. It's so bad that it's gone all the way back and it gets me in the feels because you couldn't see that well.
Okay. Well, then I know what my last joke is because I'm going to be appealing to you. Mike, you are up.
All right. Two goldfish are in a tank. One says to the other,
Jason's already, he's already dead.
I love dad jokes. It just make me laugh. Oh.
Hold on.
Okay, he said one
this
says
is
to the
problem.
Other.
Two goldfish are in a tank. One says the other.
I can't wait to find out what it says. Okay.
Oh, this joke is ruined.
Tell me more about the goldfish.
I gotta know what they said, man. All
right, punchline incoming.
This is gonna be the biggest letdown of all time.
Yes, it is.
Okay.
Just skip it.
Okay. No. Oh. Two goldfish.
I go just power down.
Two goldfish are in a tank. One says to the other, "Do you know how to drive this thing?"
Oh, come on. It's crafty. It's crafty.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, I'm back.
All right. I have to close this thing down?
Yeah. Please right. save us.
Hey, I'm going to keep the dated references going here, guys. What's E.T. short for?
What's E.T. short for?
What's E.T. short for?
I don't know.
Because he's got little legs.
He does. That's really short.
And that is a wrap. Al. Man, Jason, when you get him going, how sweaty are you right now, my man?
Oh, man. My tears of laughter are
flowing
from my forehead.
tears of laughter are flowing from your forehead. Incredible. Spectacular.
Oh,
hope you enjoyed it.
What did we learn today?
Oh, man, I learned... Woo. Turkeys get super pissed off if you name them Gerald.
Oh, seriously?
I learned how to find out if my local ice cream machine is broken at McDonald's.
That's right.
Wow.
McBroken.com.
I just learned that Jason cries through his forehead, so that'll do it for today's episode of the Spitballers Podcast. Spitballerspod.com is the website. You can come become a Spitwad.
Yeah.
Scooby-Doo-Boo.
Thanks, everybody. We'll see you next week. Stay safe. Goodbye.
Thanks for listening to the Spitballers Podcast. To see what other nonsense the guys are up to, check out spitballerspod.com.